Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Yud Ches, and the good news is that we're starting a brand new perek, a Geshmaka perek. We've discussed the halachas of this Mishnah already a couple of times in the previous perek. We're talking about the famous halacha Pasin Birois. What is Pasin Birois all about? This is talking about when Klal Yisrael used to go up to the Beis Hamikdash three times a year to be Oyle Regel. Halavai Bekorav, we should have this mitzvah again, Bekorav Mamish. Anyway, when they went up, they didn't go up with El Al planes or United or Delta or anything like that, but rather they went in caravans, they went with animals, and they traveled to Yerushalayim. And en route, often if the trip was more than a week, they would have to go and travel on, not travel, but they would have to go and camp somewhere on Shabbos. And during that period of time, we already had in the previous Mishnayos, they would set up a temporary camp with makeshift machitzos to be able to go and carry within the machne on Shabbos. So that all worked out fine, but there's only one problem. And the problem is that both the animals, as well as lehavdil, the human beings, all needed to drink on Shabbos. And no matter how many poilusher spring waters they brought with them, it wasn't enough for the population and for the animals. So they want to go and use the be'erois, and we'll see in the Gemara also boirois. Be'erois means natural springs. These are wells that produce new water all the time. And then we're going to have the Gemara also boirois, which are cisterns, which are collections of water from rainwater and the like, which don't remain forever, but can dry up from time to time. And our Mishnah is specifically referring to Be'erois. Be'erois that do have natural springs, Be'er Mayim Chaim. And in order to go and draw that water on Shabbos, we got a big issue. And the issue is that where they're standing to try to draw the water out was either Ursha Sarabim or it was a Karmelis. And they're drawing water from inside the Be'er, which typically was 10 Tvachim deep, 4 by 4 width and length, and therefore they had a status of Rishus HaYochid. You're not allowed to go and take something from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRavim or even a Karmelis. So what do you have to do? So you have to go and make mechitzos, and normally you have to make proper mechitzos. But because of the great need for the water, and because of the circumstances, the Chachamim made a major kula, and they said, you know what, you don't have to put up your normal, regular mechitza. You don't even have to put up one of those mechitzos geruos that we had in the prior Mishnah, where you had only the chavolim, or only the kanim, but rather you can go put up four posts. And these posts were very, very interesting in terms of their shape. They were L-shaped. And by being L-shaped, that means that it would extend in one direction and in the other direction. And each one of the legs of the L had to stick out at least an amma. So think to yourself, let's say, let's think in terms of north, east, west, and south. You have on the north of the Be'er, you have northeast and northwest. So the two geoimdin, these are the two posts that you had on the right and on the left. The one that was northeast, you had an amma going on the northern wall towards the west, and you had a wall going on the eastern side towards south, and similarly, parallel to that, on the northwestern side, you had a wall sticking out, jutting out an amma, again, on the northern wall towards the east, and then you had a wall, amma, jutting out towards the south. So now, if you add up how much of a wall do you really have? You only have two ammas. You have one amma from the northeastern Diomed post, and you have one amma facing it from the northwestern side. Okay, and the same thing as on every one of the four sides. You can think of it as almost like the frame around a picture where you have the four corners of the frame. Again, each time an amma going jutting out in one direction, jutting out in the other direction. Now, these are called pasim. Pasim is a name for a post. But we're also going to call them dioimdin. And as we'll see, Mechim Nigmon, the Amid Aleph, the way they got this interesting name, Diyoimdin, is because the word Diyoi, either in Greek or in Aramaic, means two, and Oimdin is from the Russian Amudim, that each post was a double Amid. By the fact that it was an L shape, then it had an Amid going in one direction, an Amid going the other direction, and that's how it got its interesting name, Diyoimdin. So again, starting the Mishnah, Oisin Pasim Lebirois. They made these pasim, these posts, for purposes of drawing water from the be'er. Arbo diyumdin, four corner posts, near kishmoina. They look like eight. They look like eight in the sense that since they are doubled, double posts, it's in the L shape, so one in one direction, one in the other direction, so you can look upon each one of these posts as if it's a double post. So you have eight altogether, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Remeir oimer shmoina nirim kishneim osar. No, it wasn't four posts, it was eight altogether that looked like 12. Arba diyumdin, like you said, in the four corners. The arba pshutim, and four regular, normal posts, smack in the middle of each one of the four walls. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you only had the four corners. Well, according to the mayor, in between each corner and the other corner, you had one regular post in the middle. If you have the art scroll, you'll see on the left-hand side, has a very nice picture. It's all, you don't really need the picture, it's pretty self-evident, but nevertheless, a picture is worth a thousand words. So you see, one picture is just the four posts, and the other picture has the four posts plus the four pshutim in the middle of each of the four walls. As a result, the four diyoimdin is like Rabbi Yehuda said, arba shehein shmoina. And then if we're adding the four pshutim, you add four more, and therefore becomes eight, which is nirin kishnei maser. Here we're not going to double it because it's only a poshet. It doesn't go in two directions. Since it's only one directional, so it's just one amma each one. So we're going to add to the eight of the arba nirin kishmoina, we'll add four more. So now it'll be shmoina nirin kishnei maser. Arba diyun arba pshut. Now, what are the dimensions? Goyven asar tvachim, like all mechitzas, it has to be 10 tvachim tall. V'roich ban, and the roich of the width is shisha, like we said, shisha tvachim in each direction, which means one amma in each direction. V'oivyan, however, the thickness of the post itself could be even a kosher. U'beinayan, now how much distance can you have between one corner post and the other corner post? Kimoloi shtei ravkois, or revokois, shol sholei sholish bokar divirameir. The word ravkois means a group or a team of, in this case, oxen, and the oxen were three tied together, as we'll see momentarily. And they specially left enough room for two groups of oxen, one group of three to come in to drink, and one group of three to leave after they're finished drinking. So there was a bit of a rotation, if you will. Yankel's three oxen went in to drink. When they were finished, they're going, they're exiting. And now Beryl's three oxen are coming in. So you have to have room now for all six, all coming and going at one time. Now, as we'll see, Mitchem in the Gemara, and Rashi already brings it here, each one of the oxen was 1 2/3 amma wide. Obviously, some of them were a little bit more obese, and some of them were a little bit more scrawny, but we're talking about, on average, 1 2/3. So if you multiply 1 2/3 by 6, 6 times 1 gets us to 6, 6 times 2/3 gets us to roughly 12/3, 3 into 12 is 4, 6 plus 4 is 10, so you get the sense that according to Remeir, between one post and the other post, you had a Pesach of 10 amos, which was okay. 10 amos is fine. Just don't let it get more than 10 amos. So therefore, the distance between one diyoimid and the other diyoimid had to have been 10 amos. And so therefore, we have a major, major kula over here, because it's not just that you have a Pesach of 10 amos. It means that on each side, you had porutz meruba alo oimid, 5 to 1. Because you're talking about 10 of open space, and only the two corners, one amma on each side, so it's 10 of open, 2 of oimed, so you have poritz meruba ala oimed by 10 amis to 2 amis. But again, this was a very, very special din for the Oyle Regel, for the Pasan Levirois. We'll see Mitchum in the Gemara whether this would also apply, for instance, to a private individual who is traveling and he needs the water on Shabbos. Can he also use this heter of our Mishnah? Mitchum will see on the Amud Aleph shortly.
Now, this total width then is 12 amos.
The total width from end to end would be 12. Correct. The 2 amos in the corner plus 10 in the middle. Exactly right. That's according to Rameh. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer shall arba, not 3, but 4. Meaning, again, we're talking about 2 ravkois, 2 teams or groups of oxen. But it's not that the group of oxen was 3 oxen, it was 4 oxen. Since we're having 2 groups of 4, 2 times 4 gives us 8 oxen. And Rameh and Rabbi Yehuda both agree that the average ox is 1 2/3. So if we multiply 8 times 1 2/3, 8 times 1 is 8. 8 times 2/3 is 16/3. 3 into 16 gives us 5 1/3. 5 1/3 plus 8 is 13 1/3. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, not that the width from end to end was 12, like Brother Shai just told us a moment ago, but in fact it was 15 1/3. You had the 2 amos in the 2 corners, plus the 13 1/3, 15 1/3. But you also have to remember that, according to the mayor, you also had that post in between. The post could not interfere with the oxen. So from post to post, not from coast to coast, but from post to post, according to Meir, you had a space of 10. According to Yehuda, you had a maximum space of 13 1/3. Now, both Rameir and Yehuda agree, kshurois v'loy mutarois, which means that we're talking about these two groups of either 3 oxen each, or according to Yehuda, 4 oxen each. We're talking about not that they were roaming freely, but that they were kshurois. They were all attached together and not open. The Gemara of Rashi already points out, l'choyer, this is redundant. Once you're saying kshurais, of course it's v'loin mutaris. So Mitchell will see in the Gemara why the Mishnah says both that they are tied and not that they are untied. Achaz nechnasas v'achaz yoitzis. As we said before, the 2 groups of 3 and 3, or the 2 groups of 4 and 4, we leave room for 1 group to enter and 1 group to leave. The reason for the importance of being so detailed and so specific, Rashi says that the kshurais v'loin mutarais tells us that that is a chumrah. The chumrah is that we're trying to reduce the amount of space between one post and the other. So by squeezing the animals together, we're going to have less of a heter of space between one post and the other. If we'd let them each one roam on their own, so then of course there would be space between, more space between one ox and the other, and so therefore there'd be more space between one post and the other. So this is a chumrah by saying that it's kshurais v'loy mutaris. The fact that we say it's achaz nechnasas v'achaz yoitzis, says Rashi, that in fact is a kula, because if you would have them all coming in at the same time, they would all bunch together. However, since they're coming in different directions, it's like two-lane street, a two-lane highway. You have some coming in one direction, some coming the other direction. So by the nature of it, you're going to have a certain additional space between the entering and the exiting oxen. So this was a kula, this was a chumrah. That's what Rashi tells. Look at the Rashi, 3 lines before the wide lines. Kshurai says Rashi, chumrahu lema'it merevach shebeintayim. The Mishnah is telling us this to tell us to reduce the space between the posts. V'loin mutaris. Gemara parah, chayinu kshurais. If it's kshurais, it's not mutaris. Gemara will ask that. Achaz nechnasu v'achaz yoitzis, says Rashi. This is a kulahu. To lay the inan eser mitzumtzamais. You don't really have to squeeze the 10 amais that should be totally mitzumtzam. El sochkais. Remember we had the Gemara before, hatzavais and sochkais, legabe the different amos, you had a machloikis of Bai Verova, whether it's amos bas chamisha, bas shisha, or the other one says that they're all bas shisha, but the question is, were they grinning on amos or frowning amos in terms of adding a drop of more space or having a little bit less space? But anyway, getting back to our Mishnah, 2 lines from the bottom, mutter lehakrav lebe'er. Until now we're talking about the maximums in terms of the space of 10 amos in between, or the 13 1/3. But if you want, of course, you can make it much more truncated. you can make it much smaller. Now, that is, of course, self-evident, you can make it smaller, but the chiddush is a buvach to hey par roisha beruba b'fnim v'shoyse. But don't make it too small. Don't make it just two tvachim by two tvachim. You do have to have some space there to allow at least one animal to enter roisha beruba and drink inside these four diumdim. Why is that so important, says Rashi? Because if you're going to make it too small, and the animal is not going to be able to stick its head in, together with roiv of its body, to go and drink. Guess what happens? Then the balabos, the owner of the animal, may mistakenly, after he draws the water, take the water out beyond the fourth yumdin, because there's no room in the fourth yumdin for the animal to stand and to go and drink. So, yes, of course, if the animal is drinking towards the be'er, leave the water there in the pail, and the animal will drink without the balabos having to go and carry outside the fourth yumdin. But you can see if the animal kind of is a little fidgety and is walking and going back and forth and blah, 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 then the balabos could mistakenly take out this bucket with the water, remove it beyond the four diumdin, and then he would be carrying into the shesarabim or the simtin or the carmelis. And so therefore that's why we want it to be at least room for part of Rosh Vuru B'Bethnim. Now, you know that the term kolshu usually means a little bit. Here, the word kolshu has the exact opposite pshat. Any amount that you want. You could theoretically have pasi berois covering the area of Yankee Stadium, or the Knick Stadium, or, I don't know, a mile by a mile square. But, what about to be able to accomplish that, you'd have to add many, many pasim, like Reb Meir said. Not pasim of diumdin, you only need four corner ones, but then you'd have every 10 amos, or every 13 and a third amos, depending whether you learn like Reb Yehuda or Reb Meir, you'd have to go and put another diumdin, another amud poshet in each, after 10 amos, after 13 and a third, keep on going. So, to answer Brother Shai, it wouldn't necessarily be that the total space from Diyomit to Diyomit is 12, you could theoretically have from Diyomit to Diyomit a mile. But just make sure that you keep on putting more and more pasim in between. Otherwise, if you have a Pesach, which is more than 10 amois, or 13 and a third amois, then it would be problematic. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and says, Ad Beis Hasayim, the total amount that you're allowed to go and leave open this area is not, like you said, a mile by a mile. The maximum base of sign is 5,000 square amos. That's the maximum. Amar Lo, the Chacham disagreed, and they said, Lo Amar base of sign, a legina or a karfif. Avam ho yedir, a soyer, a mukta, a chotzer, a filo base chameshes koyin, a filo base asara koyin mutter. The Chacham say to Rabbi Yehuda, we respectfully disagree. This shear of a base of sign does apply in other cases to a gina or a karfif. Both a gina and a karfif, explains Rashi, are not mukaf lidira, and therefore the maximum amount that you can go and make an erev or pasi birois would be, in the case of a gina or a karfif, only for a base asayim. However, if you're talking about a base dira, and this dira doesn't even have to be a base dira for people, if it's a base dira for animals, lahavdil, that's also good. So if you have a deer, Rashi says, is something similar to a corral. Or if you have a soyar, which is similar to a barn. Or you have muktza. Muktza means that you have in back of your property the rochba, where you leave things in storage for 6 months a year, and you only go there once in a yovel to check out. Maybe before Pesach you want to make a spring cleaning or a Pesach cleaning. So that's muktzah in the back of the house, or chotzer in the front of the house. All of these are beis diras, meaning your normal, regular individual uses that as part of his living space for himself or for his animals. So then, there is no din of a beis hasayim. If you happen to have a huge mansion, and your living room happens to be as large as a beis koyer, a mile by a mile, Gezinta height. The point is, since it's a base dira, you can have an infinite amount of space, a filo base chameshes koyrin, a filo base asara koyrin. If you're wondering what the relationship is between koyrin and asa, remember a kor has 30 sa'a. So if you're talking about a base assigned that's 2 sa'a, you're talking about one koyer is already 15 times as large. And if you're talking about chameshes koyrim, that's 5 times 15, we're talking about 75 times as large. Or base asara koyrim, again, since the difference between a sa'a and a koyer, sa'a is 1, koyer is 30, base asayim is 2. And therefore the koyer would be 15 times as large. If you have a asara koyrim, it would be 150, 10 times 15, 150 times as large as a base asayim. It's a huge, huge area. Mutter, as long as you're using it for purposes of a base tira, it's mutter. So Rashi says, here too, since this Shabbos I need the water for my animals, and lahavdol I also need it for people. Therefore, it becomes a base tira, a temporary base tira. It's not a permanent base tira, it's just for that Shabbos. But for that Shabbos, it's a base tira. You can use even up to asara koyrim. Not use, you can go and make machitzas, a room and a room, even asara koyrim. But make sure, like we learned yesterday, that you're using all of that space. Because if you're not using all of the space, we had yesterday in the Gemara, remember, the machloikesin, and we had ultimately the Rabbanan that said that if you have a place which is ponui of two sa'a, that could ruin the entire encampment, the entire machitzas. Anyway, so the Rabbanan repeat once again what we had at the top of the Amud. Umut l'harchi kolshu, ubulvad sheyarve bepasin. Again, marchi kolshu means you can go and make any distance that you want, mile by a mile. But make sure you put extra pasin in so that you don't have an opening of more than 10 amos wide or 13 and a third amos wide, according to the Meir and the Yehuda, respectively. Fine. That was the Mishnah. Now the Gemara tells us that there are three Tanoim that we find in Mishnayis or Braises that on the surface disagree with our Mishnah, and each time the Gemara is going to go and resolve and say, no, they could be in accordance with our Mishnah after all. So we start off with Limasis and Lekechanan Yedesani, we learned Oisin Pasin Leboir Vechavol in Lishayoro, says the Tanikama. You can make a Pasin for a Bor. Bor is not a Be'er. A bor means a cistern in which you have a collected amount of water, for instance, from rainwater, but it's not a natural well or a natural spring from underneath. You can make pasin lebor, like we had pasin in our Mishnah. The chavon lishiorin, you can make the chavon like we had in the previous Mishnah, so we spoke about yesterday and the day before. You could have this mechitza gerua, of a mechitza only of the orev and not of the chassis, in the form of these ropes roped around the posts around the machane of this encampment. Okay, v'chanan yoimer, chavon lebor, avaloi loy pasin. Even when it comes to a bor, says Chananya, you can make chavolin, but don't use pasin, because Chananya holds a pasin is just too much of a kula to go and allow for 10 amas of space and only 2 amas of omed, that's a meruba, the paparit meruba la omed, by a percentage of 5 to 1. You're talking about 10 to 2. Or, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be 13 and a third to 2. So, Rechananya doesn't believe in that. So therefore he says, by a bar, only chavalim but not pasim. So what's the Gemara's kasha? The Gemara's kasha is that you see Chananya holds that you cannot make a pas for a bar. And the Gemara assumes in the Havamina, the bar and be'er and be'er and bar are both basically the same. In fact, if you ask a real true Litvak, he calls it be'er and be'er. Be'er and be'er, it comes out to be the same. Okay, this is spelled with an aleph, this is spelled with a vav, but you still, so it comes out the same. And if that's the case, Chananya says you cannot use pasim for a bar, you can only use chavol. So the choir of the Mishnah is the leche Chananya. Says you want to offer the time Chananya. Bar lechud, be'er lechud. These are two separate things. A bar, you have to use chavolin. But a be'er, you can use pasim. And you're wondering to yourself, what's the difference between bor and be'er, that here you can use pasim and here only chaval? So Rashi explains, because when you're talking about a bor, sometimes zimnim de paskimaya, a cistern, a bor is only a collection of water like rainwater. eventually, when all the animals finish drinking, and lahavdil, all the people finish drinking, there might not be any water left. It's going to be empty. Therefore, says Hananya, we cannot allow for pasi birois if there is no water. The whole pasi birois is based on the concept that we want to be able to go and feed the animals and give them to drink and give drink to the people. But if it's all dried up, there's nothing to drink, you put those pasi birois, people will be carrying around and get carried away when you're not allowed to. The whole heter is only because there's water. There's no water. No water, no pasim. That's by bor. However, if you're talking about a be'er, be'er is a natural subterranean well or subterranean spring. So the assumption is it's never going to dry out. Okay, maybe once in 100 years. But under normal circumstances, it's not going to dry out. So there the Chacham said, sure, you can put pasim. So so the Gemara says that the Mishnah can go in accordance with Hananya after all. A bar, takenat. You can't rely on pasim for a bar. But a be'er, and our Mishnah is pasig birois, right? Birois is the plural of be'er. And therefore, says the Gemara, Rechanan, you can agree, you can make pasig birois. Ikri Ami, there was another version of the story, which comes out basically the same. Midloik tani, Chananya oimer oisa chabol lebar, u pasim lebe'er, mechav lechananya loishna bar veloishna be'er. Look at the response that Hananya gave to the Chacham. It said, Hananya Oimer, Chavolin Leboir, Avaloi Pasim. So the Gemara says, wouldn't it have passed for Hananya to go and say, Oisin Chavolin Leboir, which he says, and instead of saying Avaloi Pasim, he should have said, Upasin Leboir. Yes, there is a concept of Pasim, but it doesn't apply to a bar, it applies to a Be'er. By the fact that he says chavon lebar avaloi pasim, it sounds like pasim is not even on the table. It's nothing. We don't even talk about pasim. Get out of here. Pasim sepastish. We're not using pasim at all. B'chal dechananya leishna bar leishna be'er. Chavonim in pasim loy. Leimasis and loy kechananya. L'chor the Mishnah not like chananya, because our Mishnah says you can use pasim for be'er. And it would seem by his silence, the Hananya holds that you cannot use pasim anywhere. Says Imon Nishkarai, a fellow tame Hananya, the Mishnah can go according to Hananya. Why did Hananya choose to use the words in the Braisa, Chavolim Lebor Avaloi Pasim, instead of saying Chavolim Lebor Upasim Lebe'er? Because Hananya is not speaking in a vacuum. It's a dialogue. He is addressing the Chacham. What did the Tanakhama say? Again, starting the first line right after the Mishnah, Tisanya Oisin Pasin Lebor V'Chavolim L'Sheyara. Notice Be'er doesn't appear in that statement, only Boer and Sheyara. So Hananya says, that you said that you can make Pasin Lebor is wrong. I disagree. You can do Chavolim Lebor, but not pasim lebar. Why don't you speak about be'er? The Chacham didn't say be'er, so I don't say the word be'er. But the truth of the matter is, a be'er you could have pasim after all. So bottom line is, we tried to say that the Mishnah is not like Hananya, and the Gemara says it can go according to Hananya. Now number two, limasis alikra b'kivet etnan. Elcha be'er harabim, u boyer harabim, u be'er hayachid, oislen pasim. Oh, Rabbi Kiva tells us that the din of pasi berois applies not only to the rabbin, which of course was the major takana, but also the be'er hayachid. You have one individual that's traveling up to Yerushalayim, or for that matter, going from here to Syracuse, and en route he needs water. He has no polish or spring water, but he has the manhole covers, and underneath it there's a be'er. Can he put up these pasim before Shabbos? So, says Rabbi Kiva, yes, a Be'er HaYachid also works. And Rabbi Kiva says, even Boyer Horabim, not like Hananya, right? Hananya said, for a Boyer you can't put a Pasim. Says Rabbi Kiva, since we're talking about the Rabbim, even a Boyer, a regular cistern, I'm not choishish that maybe throughout Shabbos the water will dry up, there won't be any water left. I'm not worried about that. For a Boyer Rabbim, you can make Pasim Rois. All of them, Oislam Pasim. The only exception is when you have two strikes against you. Number one, it's a boyer and not a be'er. And number two, it's a yachid and not a rabim. then you cannot rely on pasim. You have to have normal, regular mechitzas. The ilu hachiktani, in our Mishnah hachiktani, it says, libirois. Libirois in libirois lai. L'choira, the reason why our Mishnah doesn't go in accordance with Rabbi Kiva. Because Rabbi Kiva says not only be'er harabim, but even boir harabim. So l'choira, our Mishnah should have told us a bigger chiddush. It should have said, ois and pasin, not l'beirois, but l'boirois. The fact that it says beirois sounds like beirois in l'boirois light. Only for be'er, and not for a bar. Even though we're talking about the rabbin. Is the chayr of the Mishnah can't go according to Rabbi Kiva. Everymore, no. The Mishnah can go according to Rabbi Kiva. Filut him, Rabbi Kiva. Be'er, ma'im chayim de psikalei, lo yishno de rabbo, lo yishno de yachid k'toni. Notice our Mishnah doesn't get into the inyan of yachid or tzibur. Rashi says that the reason why they were matter the inyan of pasi b'rois is for the inyan that came up to be oyle regel. That's true. However, our Mishnah doesn't say anything about that. So our Mishnah could be even by a private yachid. Private yachid, he's traveling to Yerushalayim or wherever. He's allowed to put the pasiv rois for his animals. Ah, so when it comes to be'er rois, there's no difference between yachid v'rabim. And that's why our Mishnah says, pasiv rois finished. However, bor mechunasim, to leipsikalei, there, by bar, the Mishnah would have to be a little bit more wordy. And the Mishnah would have to say that by a bar, it depends. If it's Rabbim, yes. But if it's a Yachid, no. And our Mishnah didn't want to get into details and making chiluki between one thing and the other. If like Tani, it wanted to give us an easy rule that applies across the board. And by the Eirois, there's no difference. Yachid by Rabbim, it always works. You can always put up pasim. Since Boyreis and Mulyon, well, Mishnah stays away from that. So bottom line is, we have no conclusive rai that the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Kiva. Taket, the Mishnah could go like Rabbi Kiva after all. And now we talk a third time. Leimasi is the like Rabbi Yudah ben Bava. That not Rabbi Yudah ben Bava Oimer. Ein oisim pasin el lebe'er harabim bilvad. Oh, you can only make a pass for be'er harabim. It has to have both malas. Number one, it's not a boy, it's a be'er. And it's not a yachid, it's a rabbin. So you have to have those two conditions. If you look at our Mishnah, it says, libirois. Libirois sounds like be'erois. Generally, all be'erois, loishno de rabbin, loishno de yachid, which is what Rabbi Kiva said before, as you recall. And therefore, that's mashma from our Mishnah, not only be'er a rabbin, but also be'er a yachid. Is the chayr the Mishnah doesn't coin to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, says him or no? I feel the same with Bava, my birois, birois the alma. When it says birois in our Mishnah, it doesn't mean to include be'er harabim and be'er hayachid. It means to include all the be'erois harabim that ever turn up. If you have a be'erois harabim, people are going from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and they're going to Yerushalayim. Some of them have reached the town of Basra, which is, I believe, in Lebanon. And then some of them have reached Akko. And some of them have reached the outskirts of Haifa. And some of them have reached near Tveri. And some have reached near Tzvas. And some near Tel Aviv, etc. And each time they never got to the actual town or city. They only got stuck in between town and village, town and city. And it's now Shabbos. What should we do? You could put up those Beirois, Harabim. You could put up the Pasi Beirois. So these Pasi Beirois, the reason for using the expression in plural, pasiv be'erois or be'erois, is not to indicate rabim and yachid, but rather to talk about all be'erois that rabim require under these circumstances, whether they happen to be in Basra, whether they happen to be near Akko, they happen to be near Tveria, near Tzvas, this time before Sukkot, and in the Yetzir Shem, 6 months from now, before Pesach, and before Shavuos, every single time they have this issue of a Be'er HaRabim, you can go and put up the Pasei Birois. But it doesn't come to include necessarily the Birois of Yochid, and so therefore we have no Raya whether the Mishnah goes according to, or whether it does not go contributing to Mbaba. The Mishnah can go contributing to Mbaba after all, filter me to Mbaba, my Birois, Birois to Alma, period. Good. So with this, we've concluded the first part of today's shir, that The Gemara attempted to say that the Mishnah does not go in accordance with Hananiah, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, and the Gemara concludes that it can go according to each one of them after all. Now from here, you can put it two dots, and from here to the end of today's lot, in Yet Hashem, there's going to be a lot of Agadata, and 95% of this Agadata is very well known to all of us from our youth, and in fact, a lot of it we had at the end of Masechtas Brachos, and it's just a repeat. So the Gemara says now, first of all, my diyumdin. What's the definition of the word diyumdin in our Mishnah? So like we've said, Amr Yerim ben Ol and ben Elazar, diyoy amudin. The word diyoy means two in Aramaic or Greek. It means two, and amudin means pillars. So you have each one of these diyumdim are L-shaped, like we said before. So it's like a double amud, an amma in one direction, an amma in the other direction, and that's how it got its fancy name, diyumdin. Now notice this is Rabbi Yehuda ben Elazar, and the simon that the Gemara gives us now are for several memories that we're going to have from Rabbi Yehuda ben Elazar here on this Amud and on the Amud Beis and Mietshem into tomorrow. So what are the simonim? Diyarim Nuda, Shevach, Zunis, Niskalko, Bemida, Shloisha, Simon. Some of these words are a little bit strange. In fact, the Gra, Agoyesa Gra, changes the simon slightly. You'll see in Ois Aleph. Anyway, Tanan Hasan. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Kol Hashitin Pturin Chutzman HaDiyufra. All Shitin are potter from having to give Meiser if you have Shitin which are Demai, except for Diyufra. Now what exactly are Shitin? So if you look at Rashi three lines higher, or four lines higher in the Rashi, Shitin is Mine Te'enim Ro'ois, Kinoam Vesechtes Brachis. We're talking about an inferior species of te'enim of figs. Pturim says Rashi min ha-demai. Why don't you have to go? You know that these are demai because you bought it in a chanut from a farmer or from a store owned by an amart. So why don't you have to go and give maisris? The kimin de ro'oi saying since they happen to be inferior lechos alai amaret v'isra. In other words, apparently this is very very cheap schayra. Your normal figs go for 99 cents a pound, and here you have these are going for 9 cents a pound. It's really, really cheap and inferior. So the farmer or the storekeeper says, I can be a brighter mensch, I can go and give maestris on this because it's a very minimal overhead requirement. We're talking about 10% of 9 cents a pound, these ta'inim, these shittim. So he's happy to go and give it. So if you buy those shittim from him, you don't have to go and give Maisim. However, chutzman ad-diyufra, Rashi says diyufra shuhu choshev. So apparently this is the choshevster of the te'enim ro'ois. So presumably it rises to the level of te'enim yofois, where there you would have to go and give maiser after all, even though it's demai. Now the question is, what's the definition of diyufra? And now you'll see why the Gemara brings this. Amma'ula ilanu oise diyoi peiris b'shana. Oh! The reason why it's called diyufra, because again, the same word diyoi, we said diyumda means two amudim, diyoi, but diyufra means two peiris bashana. Normally, your farmer will tell you only get one crop a year. You plant in the planting season of September, October, and then you go and harvest in April. However, this crop of these diyufras, you're able to go and get two crops a year, which of course the farmer is very happy about. That's how it got the name Diofra, Dioi Peirs. Good. We go back to Rabbi Yirmi ben Elazar. That's the mnemonic for Yirmi ben Elazar. And again we bring Dioi. What is Dioi? Dioi again means two. Dioi parzif ponim hoylo di Adam Rishon. When Adam Rishon was created, he was created as man and woman together, and they were head to head to the back. Almost like Siamese twins, where they're connected, their backs are connected as one. And as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, Kadosh Baruch Hu split them down the middle. Shneim says in the pasuk, "Ocher v'kedem tzartani." Kadosh Baruch Hu created them with a back and a front at the same time, and that's the dioy parts of panim that there were two faces. One face was the face of Adam in one direction, and you turn to the back, the other face was the face of Chav. Says the Gemara, "Ksiv, but even Hashem l'kim esat tzeilah." Rabbi Shmuel chad amar parzif, chad amar zonav. Now this pasuk, of course, continues on. And as you know, the Gentiles define the word tzela like the word tzeloim or tzelois, which means ribs. And so they go and say that Kadosh Baruch Hu created from the rib Eve. But our Gemara tells us that's not really the pshat. Rather, the tzela means partif, and the word tzela over here means side. And that the word tzela can also mean a tzela tzofin, tzela dorin. It's in the side. So therefore, one side, as we already concluded before, was a partif, was a face on the other side. So from that second side, Kadosh Baruch Hu created Chava. V'chad Omer, the other man Yomah said, was a zonav, there was an extra, like a tail sticking out of the back, and Kadosh Baruch Hu took that tail, and he expanded it, obviously, and made it into Chava. So that's the tzela that we're referring to. This is consistent with that previous pasuk, that there were two sides to Adam Arishon, the male side and the female side, and therefore the Ocher v'Kedem, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu split it down the middle, and that's why the two parts of him, that makes sense. This is the Ocher v'Kedem. That this Ocher v'Kedem is not referring to the physical creation of Adam and Chava, but rather it's referring to that Ocher, that Adam Arishon was the last creature or creation during the Shivas Yimei Breishis or Sheishis Yimei Breishis, and he was the first one that was punished. After all, look through the 6 days of creation, and you see the first day was Shemayim Ba'aretz, and after that you had the Oyer and the Choshech, and you had the Mayim and the Metachas La'aretz and the Rikia, and then you had the Behemis and the Chayis and the Oifos and the Ramasim, all of the Ma'orais, etc., all created during the first 5 days. And then on the sixth day, the final day, Adam was created, so he's the final creation of all of the creations of the Kodesh Baruch. So that means the Ocher L'mas Bereshis. What is Kodem L'Peronis? Mayi. Imei Mishim Kolola, meaning of the Eitz Hadas. He wasn't the first, he was the last one. First he had the Nochash, and then the Chava, and then the Adam. Etc., etc. So he wasn't the Kodam L'Peronis. El Mabel, this is referring to Adam in the Mabel. Adam in the Mabel? Adam was already dead by the time of the Mabel. May Adam the Abbehema. Adam, of course, there means human beings, but that's the point, that human beings were the final ones born, but the first ones that were killed at the times of the Mabel, they were the first ones that were punished. That's Ocher v'Kedem Tzatoni. Bishlan l'man yom ha-paretz v'ayim v'chsev v'yitzer trey yudin. What does it say in the Pasik? V'yitzer Hashem al-kim es ha-odom ofer min ha-adama. Now the word v'yitzer is written in a strange way, in the way that it says two yudin. When it says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu created the behemoth and the chayis, it only says v'yitzer with one yud. Here it says with two yudin. So if you're going to go and tell me that two parts of him, so the trey yudin makes sense. That there was a front body and a back body. There were two tzurais, one male, one female. So Bayitzer, Treyudin, two tzurais were created. Elman the Amazon of my Yitzer. After all, it's just that tale. What's the no second Yitzira? There's only one Yitzir. Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Oyloi mi Yitzri, Oyloi mi Yitzri. That Adam Arishon, as well as all people since Adam until today, all have that, what they call in English, we're all stuck between a rock and a hard place. What means a rock and a hard place? Each one of us has a Yetzirah, and each one has a Yoitzer, means a Kodesh Baruch Hu that created us. So if the Yetzirah tells us to do something bad, and we follow the Eitzah of the Yetzirah, then Oyli Mi Yoitzri, a Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to be angry, why did you do this Aveir? On the other hand, if you follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu and don't do any Averois, Hashem will be happy, but the Yetzirah will be angry at you. So you're always in the middle of that tension between the Yetzirah that wants you to do Averois and the Yetzirah Olam, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that doesn't want you to do Averois. So that's the double Yud, Yitzri, and Yetzirah. Tekka says in the Pasuk B'Feirish, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Zohar and the Keva. If you look at the Pasuk Hey here in the Torah Ora Shalim, Zachon Kevah Biraam, Vayivarach Oysam, Vayikra Es Shemam Adam, Biyoim Hibaram. So the double Zachon Kevah was called Adam. How could Zachon Kevah be called Adam? Because it was one person with two fronts and two backs. Well, one front and one back. Well, you understand what I mean? The two backs were connected in the back, and the front of one side was a Zohar, and the front of the other side was a Nekev. So that makes sense if you say the Ocha Bekedim Tzartani Mitiparitzuf Elaman Yom Zonav Mai Zochan Kiv Buron. If Kodesh Baruch Hu took the Zonav and created out of that Chava, so it wasn't Zochan Akeva. Kodesh Baruch Hu created a Zochar mit a Zonav. So if you tell me parts of Kodesh Baruch Hu split them down the middle, that's Zochan Akeva Baron. But if you tell me Zonav, it was only a Zochar, listen to Zochan Akeva Baron. The Kribavok, the Bavok Rami Ksiv, Zochan Akeva Baron, it says Kodesh Baruch Hu created Zochan Akeva as one fused individual. Ksiv, but there's another part, Zochan Akeva Baron Oisai. Doesn't say bara oisam, bara oisai. Here it says bira'am, lashon rabin. Here it says bara oisai. So make up your mind. Everything went betchila alto mashava lebrois shnai. According to this man, the yomer, that it was a zanav, Hashem Yisbarach b'machshava wanted to go and create a fused single body of the two, Zohar and Akeva, back to back. Rav Seifel Nivra Ella, Echad Kadosh Baruch Hu create, changed his mind, kaviyachol. And then he decided only on one body altogether, and therefore only had that additional tail sticking out to subsequently make chav. That if you're going to tell me that they were taka two bodies fused together into one, and now Hashem split them down the middle, then I understand why Hashem after that had to go and close up the wound, so to speak, the surgery, right? There was surgery, major surgery, split it down the middle. Kodesh Baruch had to go and close up the basar in back to so it shouldn't be revealed, because after all, it's all open in the back now. The whole thing was just removal of the zonav. He made a person. It's like a kleinekite, nothing. That the basar tachtena, Yisgur tachtena, was on that small, inch by inch, 3 inches by 3 inches, 5 inches by 5 inches. That small little incision also needed to be sewn up. That's what he's going to bust the tachten. Not major, but minor surgery, minor stitches. When it says Vayta, the Kodesh Baruch Hu took the that other part of Adam. Vayiven Hashem alakim es atzeila min Adam liisha. So if you're telling me that we start off with a zonav, that's a vayiven. You started off with a nothing, and you have to make a ganza binyan. That requires a ganza contractor to go and build. Elamani parts of my even that the whole thing was intact. All you have to do is separate the two bodies. It was already created. There's no new creation at this point. Every more, what means vayiven lekim shimon ben asi the atar shimon ben asi vayiven Hashem lekim es atzeila malan malam shekila kodesh baruch lechava vayvi el odom rishon. The word vayiven means here killer. What means killer? If you look at the last Rashi, killer means kelias seyar. Hashem Yisbarach braided Chava's hair before he took Chava and presented her to Adam Harishon. Presumably the reason why Hashem braided her hair is to make her look more presentable so that Adam would be interested in marrying her. Anyway, Malam Shekhila, Kodesh Baruch Lechava, Beviv Adam Rishon. Now you're going to tell me, what does braiding here have to do with Vayiven? She came B'krach Yayan, out in the islands, Koyin L'Kliyasa, B'niyasa. There is an expression there in the islands when they want to talk about braiding here, they talk about building the hair. You go into your local hairdresser, and you don't say, could you please braid my hair, but you say, could you please build my hair. So that's, Vayiven is referring to the braiding.
It's like people say they'll do their hair. A woman will say they'll do their hair or they'll do their makeup.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, it's the same, it sounds similar.
That's a very fine expression. With sometimes, and I don't mean Chas Hashem to criticize anybody, Bein Sheyeshno Po or Bein Sheino Po, sometimes you have people come into shul and say, no, when's Mincha? Mincha's right now. No, let's do it. Let's do Mincha. You don't really do Mincha. Yes, you do makeup and you do hair, but you don't do Mincha, you daven Mincha. Okay, I'm sure. Once in a while, even I have probably used that expression, so I'm criticizing myself. But really, you don't do a you need done. Okay. Anyway, Dovrache Nochav Shav Even Hashem Lekim Amr Rav Chizah Mer Megav Asti Setonim Alam Chik Bana Kodesh Baruch Lechava Kibinyan Oitzer. The word Vayiven means when the Kodesh Baruch created Chava, he made her into like a storage bin. Now, what means a storage bin? Ma oitzizeh rochem l'mata v'kotzer milmalo k'dei v'kabel es ha-peirois. When you have a storage bin in which you put in grain or fruits and things of that nature, it's always going to be rochem l'mata v'kotzer milmalo k'dei v'kabel es ha-peirois. You put from the top, it'll be more open to be able to go and insert the stuff, and then Rochem Mata, down below it's going to be wider, and up above it's going to be a smaller opening, like the top Rashi says, Shemoyer Rochel Mumala, if you can have a wide opening at the top, Kishu Mumala Mach bin Masu Yapedis Alaksolim Umata Oysam. If this is a type of container, which is not, you know, just regular, but it's made with somewhat of an angle, because one part of it is wide and one part is narrower, if the upper part would be wider and the lower part would be narrower, so by definition the walls are going to start moving smaller and smaller as we get towards the bottom. If you're going to fill it up with peiros, then there's going to be pressure on those walls until those walls eventually are going to mataisim, are going to become warped. So if you're much better off having wider on the bottom, narrower on the top, when you insert the peiros, afisha, same thing like a woman, lehavdil, rechavim elmata, also her womb is constructed in such a way that it is wider down below, k'tzarim elmala, and more narrow up above, k'dei lekabel es avlad, to be able to go and become pregnant, and then afterwards be able to hold in pregnancy for 9 months, and eventually to deliver the vlad at the end of the 9 month period. Okay, so it says, k'dei baruch ha'v'yiven es atzela le'isha v'v'yer elo adam. Kadosh Baruch Hu brought Chava to Adam Rishon. Malamit she'asa Kadosh Baruch Hu shishbinus la'Adam Rishon. Kadosh Baruch Hu acted as a shishbinus. Shishbinus today in modern day either Ivrit or Yiddish or whatever is what we call an interferer. Interferer means when you're taking the chusin kala down to the chuppah. So you always have two interferers. Typically, it's either the parents or it's the two fathers, the two mothers, etc. And occasionally, if the child is a yosim or there's a get or something, then you have other people. But shishbinus is usually the people that the interferes. Here, our Gemara is not talking about interferers. People here, the Gemara is talking about a person that takes upon himself or herself to organize all of the million details that need to be organized in connection with a chasana. Especially today, as you know, you have to go and call a musician, and you have to go and call, you have to order invitations, and you have to get a caterer, and you have to get a hall, and you have to get this, and you have to get that. So many different details that you have to work on. So the Shishbinus is the person that is Osek and helps out to the Chosin Kala, or to the parents of the Chosin Kala, to lighten the burden for them. So, says Igmar, just like the Kodesh Baruch Hu acted as a shishbinus in the case of Adam Rishon. That what? He brought Chava to the chuppah, so to speak, to Adam. Mikan legodol shi'as shishbinus lekatan, come to tell you, nowadays too, we should try to go mimishtadel, to follow in the footsteps of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. As we know, the Gemara says, Mahu chanan af ata chanan, Mahu racham af ata racham. We want to go and be mistabik, the midois of Yisbarach, and just like the Kodesh Baruch Hu was busy at the time of the chasen of Adam and Chava, presumably there were a few less details than we have today. He didn't have to worry about the cosmetician and the musician, etc. Maybe he did, chweisnish. But anyway, but nowadays you do have to worry about all these things. So one should go and try to help out as much as possible. Val yedolai, and the person should not be offended and say, I don't have the time, why do I have to do all of this, let somebody else do it. No, you should be happy to be able to assist in organizing the simcha. Oh, this is a nice philosophical, theoretical question. Not so much theoretical, but philosophical. You have over here, Adam and Chava were fused at the back. So before Hashem Yisbarach went and separated them, who went first? In other words, they have, both of them are looking frontwards. Their fronts, their backs are fused together at the back. So now, did Adam go first? Did the Zohar go first with the Nekeva following? Or did the Nekeva go first and the Zohar was following? So which one went, Bereisha? Or Nachman Yitzchak Mestaber, the Zohar Sagi Bereisha? Probably the Zohar. The Sanya, lo yahalach Adam achor isha, v'derech v'fil hi ishtoi. The Zdam lal yashi, yisalken at stonu, v'chloi v'achor isha, v'noar in l'chek on l'abah. So what the Bereisha told us is that a person should not walk in back of a woman. The reason why he shouldn't walk in back of a woman is obvious, that he shouldn't go and start seeing and becoming attracted to that woman. And if he becomes attracted to that woman, then he might have hirhurim and things of that nature. Even if it's ishtoi, even if it's his wife, he shouldn't walk in back of her, but rather he should walk in front. In the Nama al-Gesher, what happens if he is going on a Gesher on a bridge? what the Gemara really means to say, it's a one-lane street. And there's only really room for one person. And the woman is going in front and he's walking in back. If so, Kenneth Stoneman, he should go and try as much as possible to try to pass and go in front of her. Obviously, he shouldn't go and push her, but he should go and say in a nice way, young lady, if you'd be so kind, I'm in a rush, would you mind if I go ahead? So, Nizdam al-Gesh, Yisrael Kenel, it's told him he should try to get in front and not walk in back of her. It's bad enough to go and walk on the street in back of a woman and Chas V'Shalom coming the day hear her, the day bad machshavas, but in a nar, it's really bad. Why is it really bad? So Rashi explains, which is self-evident, since the woman is walking in the river, and as a result, she doesn't want her dress or her skirt to get wet, she's going to have to pick up her skirt or her dress. If you're walking in back, you will see erva, you'll see what you're not supposed to see, and if a person does that, ein l'chev gal mapa. Tanurban, hamratza moist isha miyodah liyodah, a person who is, for instance, in the supermarket, he is handing over money to a woman, from his hand to her hand, or miyodah liyodoy, or her hand to his hand, b'shul sheyistakuba, the reason why he's not just putting it down on the table, on the counter, but he's handing it over because he wants to use it as an opportunity to go and look at her. Now, we don't mean just look in the sense of a glance. Yistaklus means with a gaze. Even if the person's on the madriga Moshe Rabbeinu, he's going to go to Gehenim. So a person has to be very careful about his stockless beisha. Why does the Gemara compare him dafka even doim le Moshe Rabbeinu? What's we kept around Moshe Rabbeinu over here? So Rashi says because Moshe Rabbeinu also received the Torah miyad liyad. If you look at the Rashi miyad liyad liyad, it's 7-8 lines into the narrow lines, 10 lines from the top. Yad liyad hamaratza miyad liyad, a person who's counting out money from hand to hand, a fellow who, even he, is k'moy Moshe, shekibul Torah miyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu liyadoy. In other words, just like Moshe Rabbeinu was kibul Torah miyad liyad, so here too, if a person is going to take, he's going to count out money to an isha miyad liyad, and for the purpose of his stockless, then liyinak medina shemir. What does that mean? That yad liyad, if you're going to count out money, yad liyad to an isha, the person will have a nice big chelik in Gehenna. Manoyach, who is the father of Shimshon HaGibar, he was an Amoret. How do I know? Oh, we just learned in the Gemara, you're not supposed to go. You're not even supposed to walk after your own wife. And Menoyach did go after his own wife. So you see, he was an Amoret. He didn't learn the daf today. If he would have learned the daf, he would have known. So therefore, he's Amoret. Pray to him, Maslun of Nachem by Yitzchok. Elamiyato Gabi Elkanah. Elkanah was the father of Shmuel. And Rashi points out Elkanah himself was a Novi, like it's brought in Seder Olam. He was a Novi. And what does it say about Elkanah? The Chesem Yelech Elkanah Achrei Ishta. He went after his wife. Hachanami, you're going to tell me Elkanah was an Amoret? He was a Novi. The Gavi Elisha, who he knows was the star Talmud of Eliyo, and he was also a Novi. The Chesem Yelech Elkanah Achrei Ishta. He went after her. And therefore, again, walking after an Isha. Hachanami, you tell me Elisha is an Amoret? Ella, what are you going to tell me? Achrei Dvarev Atzasa. When it says by Elkanah and by Elisha that they walked after the woman, it doesn't mean physically walking, but rather Vayelech means a person took a mahalach, an approach, in accordance with the advice given by his wife. In the case of Vayelech Elkanah Achrei Ishtai, Ishtai suggested to Elkanah, let's do A, B, and C, and Elkanah said that's a great idea, and he went in that path, in that way as suggested. So it doesn't mean physically walking after her, it means following her advice. Same thing as by Elisha. So Al-Kanavi, same thing by Manoyach. Achrei Devarav, that's also could be the same thing. And if we have no right. Omer Ravashi, Ulamadi Omer, Rav Nachman, Manoyach, Amoret Tzoya, according to the original Svara that we said that Manoyach was an Amoret, and Philip Beirav Nami Leikara. He was what we would call in Yiddish, a grob Amoret. Not just a simple Amoret, but a big, great Amoret. Why? because it says a pasuk in Chumash. Okay, he didn't learn the daf today. There are other Yidden in Klal Yisrael that are not learning the daf today, unfortunately. But everybody knows a pasuk in Chumash. And what is in the Chumash? We're talking about Rivka ben Ariseva, Tikavna al-Gamalim, Vatilachna achrei Yoish, that Rivka went in back of Eliezer. Then why does the Torah tell us Vatilachna achrei Yoish? Do I care who went first, or who went second, who went third? I mean, what difference does it make? The pasuk is telling you, achrei Yoish v'leilefnei Yoish, because she should not and go in front of Eliezer, dafka after Eliezer. Oh, so you see that if you hold the Menoich was an Amoritz, he didn't even know this pasuk. If a person is walking and he has a choice between walking in back of an ari, a lion, or walking in back of a woman, he should rather walk in back of the lion and not after the isha, because that's how dangerous walking after an isha is, more dangerous than walking after a lion. You should rather go in back of a woman and not go in back of an avodah zarah. Now, when we say after avodah zarah, this is slightly different than the woman, because the woman is walking, don't walk after her. But you can't walk after a church. Church is inanimate. This avodah zarah means an idol, a statue. That idol, a statue, is not moving. So what means not walking in back of it? It means not to walk and have to go on that street or in back of that church. In other words, person has to go from one block to another block. He shouldn't go and walk where he's going to pass by and avoid a zara, a church, an idol, etc. And therefore, says Yimara, that it's better to go after the Isha and the Chas Hashem, go after the Vodizara, because I'm afraid, says Rashi, he might be Nimshech Achar Vodizara. If he's going to see this beautiful idol with this beautiful statue, he's going to say, wow, this really looks godly, it looks divine. And he might start bowing down to it and pledge allegiance to it, and eventually, Chas Hashem, he might become an Oved Vodizara. Rather go in back of an idol, of an avodah zarah. Don't go in back of a shul and pass by the shul when they're davening without entering into the shul, because it looks as if you are not interested in davening. Or actually says he looks like he's a kofar, like chas v'shalom an apikoros, and he says that's not for me. I think this Gemara brings this in Masechtas Brachos as well. And David Gemara says, "Memedvar mamurim," that this is the only shul in town. But if there are other shuls, it's okay. It's got to be dafka b'shas tefillah, etc. Because the other shuls in town, I don't have to go to this shul. I go to the other shul, right? The person got stranded on an island somewhere, and they found him 12 years later. And there were two shuls: one that he always went into, one that he never went into. As everybody knows, the joke. Okay. So now we started with Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Elazar, and the reason why we started with Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Elazar had to do with the diyoy Amudim, that's the Dioyminim, and then we have the Dioy Partsif. Again, Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Elazar, Dioy Partsif. So now we're going to continue on weiter with another Dioy and other members of Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Elazar. This is not about Dioy, we're going to have that later on. The Omer of Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Elazar, Kalois and Hashem Shay Adam Rishon ben Nidoy, during the period of 130 years, Adam Rishon was ben Nidoy, like in Chayrim. During that period of time, Hoyled Ruchen Beshidin Velilin. During that period of time, instead of having children, he gave birth to all types of evil demons, Ruchais Rois and Shindalids, and all types of those wonderful things. Shinema, Vayichi Odom Shloshim Umiyashana, Odom Rishon lived 130 years, Vayoyled Bidmusai Kitzalmai, and he gave birth, Bidmusai Kitzalmai. This is referring to the birth of Shais. Now, why does it say that after 130 years, he gave birth, that until the end of that 130 years, that he gave birth then as well, but not to a normal child, but rather to these Ruchen and Shidin and Lila. Frankly, Mari, you're telling me during the 130 years, he gave birth to those other things. Since he saw that Nebuch Misa came as a result of his bad actions in eating from the Eitz Hadas, Yashim B'Tainis Meir Shloshim Shana, he went and fasted for 130 years. Of course, he ate at night, otherwise he couldn't live, but he fasted for 130 years. Appears from Isha Meir Shloshim Shana, and he didn't live with Chava for 130 years. The Ve'ela Zarzei Te'enim Al-Psaroi Meir Shloshim Shana, and he wore special fig cloth or fig leaves on his basar for 130 years. Now, what's the inyan of these three things that he used? Yoshim B'Tanis, Pirishman Isha, Hello Zarzeitainim. So the Mefarshim explain that the reason why he was Yoshev Tanis is because the whole reason why he was put in Chayim in the first place is because he ate from the Eitz Hadas. To be metaking the chait of eating, he didn't eat 130 years. Upirish Menehisha, it was all because of the fact that he is living with Chava, caused Chava to go and convince him. So he says, okay, I'm going to stay away from my wife for 130 years. He was Hoylech Achrei Atzas Ishtoi, he stayed away from his wife, didn't live with her. The reason why he wore this fig cloth is because, according to one out of 3 days, remember there's a three-way machlekes in the Gemara, what the Eitz Hadas was a chita, whether it was a gefen or a te'ena, and according to Yishalmi it was an esrig. So te'ena is one of the pshat, according to that pshat, that's why he wore the zayin te'ena, since he sinned with the te'ena, and that's why he was malbish himself with such a te'ena cloth to go and to paint his guf, not wearing normal regular clothing, to remember and to atone for the chait of the Eitz Hadas. Anyway, what do I see from all of this? I see from all of this that for 130 years he was Peter Shmini Isha. So how could he give birth during the 130 years to these Ruch and Shidim Balilin? And for the Gemara, Ki Kamrin Nahu B'shich Vazer HaDechoz L'Ainzei. Enoch Hanami, the birth of these Ruch Yisrois was not as a result of living with Chava, but rather since he did not live with Chava, from time to time he would have emissions of Shechva Zera Li'ointzai. Those Shechva Zera emissions, those turned into the Ruchais Rois, about what the Gemara was talking about. Good, another Shtikla. Again, Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Elazar says, Mikza Shvacha Shel Adam Oymen Befanav Kuli Shalei Befanav. That when you talk about a person, say you flatter and compliment someone, you only say Mikza Shvacha Befanav Kula and everything Shalei Befanav. Mikza Shvacha Befanav Dechsev by Noyach. But Kadosh Baruch is speaking to Noach directly. Ki oischa you reisi tzadik lefanav bedarazeh. So he called him a tzadik. Kula shalai befanav. However, if he's not in front of Noach, then the Torah says dechsin Noach is tzadik tamim oy bedarazeh. Why does it add the word tamim over here? Because here we're talking about Noach as a third party. Noach was a tzadik tamim, but we're talking to Noach. We're calling him tzadik. From Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Elazar, another member of the same Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Elazar. By dechsin. Vinei Ali Zayis Torah Pafia. Amr Yoni Lafnei Gadosh Baruch, Rabbi Nishlam, Yim Zunoy Sai Merur, and Kizayis, and Sun Yodchva, Yim Mesukim Bidvash, Vetluyim Biyad, Bos Vedam. Here we have Yoina coming out of the Teva, and the Yoina returns to the Teva with an Ali Zayis Torah Pafia. It had this olive leaf in its mouth. And even today, you see when people talk about peace, the emblem is often, you see the Yoina with such an Ali Zayis Pafia. Anyway, what does this symbolize? Yoina was saying before Kadosh Baruch Hu, it was pretty bitter here in the Teva, and all I've gotten now that have come out of the Teva have this Ali Zayis Tara Fafir. However, I rather be supported by getting Zaysim, eating Zaysim, which are Marar. Now, for those of you that love olives, you're saying to yourself, olives are not particularly bitter. After all, we don't eat Zaysim at the Seder night. For Morar, why is it Morar called a Merurim Kizayis? So Rashi says, not Rashi, Toysis says, second Toysis before the end, three Toysis before the end, Merurim Kizayis means Ilon Shel Zayis, Vuhu Mar. If you want to go and taste something bitter, go over to a fig tree, cut off a little bit, assuming that you're allowed to cut off, I don't know if you can go and cut off, but if you were able to go and cut off part of the Ilon Shel Zayis, put it in your mouth, you'll see it's very bitter. See, Miyazunayis and Merurim Kizayis, Umasurim Biyarcha, but you'll be in charge of Kodesh Baruch Hu, for Yimsuk Gibash, rather than I should go and have the sweetness of honey, with Lim Vedbasa Vedam, even if it's being administered delicious delicacies, I'd rather get directly from you, Hashem, rather than getting from Noyach or any other Basa Vedam. Ksiv Hocha says, how do I know that this has something to do with Mizanois and Merurim Kizayis? All it says in the pasuk was Ali Zayis Torah Bafia. Says the Gemara Ksiv Hocha Torah from Torah Bafia. Uksiv Hashem says the pasuk Hatrifeni Lechem Chuki. Therefore, that is talking about Lechem is Hatrifeni. Loshem Teref is referring to food. Here too, Torah Bafia means food. The Amr Biyam Ibn Alas, another Biyam Ibn Alas. Kol Baishenish Moim by Divrei Torah Balai the Shuv Ein Nechrot. Any Torah, any house that you hear Divrei Torah at night, you don't have to worry about that it's going to become Choruv because the Torah will protect that house. Shenema. Noisin zmirah is balayla. Noisin zmirah balayla means zmirah of Torah at night. We're not going to say Ay Elikai Oisi because this home won't be destroyed because this home was Noisy's Vius Balayim. Rashi says that this doesn't only apply to learning at night, it also applies during the day. So why does it say Kobay Shishmo Medivre Torah Balayla? Says Rashi, because it's much easier to overhear someone learning Torah at night than over here during the day, because during the day there's so much noise pollution. You're walking down the street, you hear all the honking, and you hear all the talking, and you hear all the noise. At night, it's typically much quieter. People are sleeping. You don't have all of that rustle bustle. It's a hustle bustle. It's not the city that never sleeps. It's a city that does sleep. And so therefore, when you hear somebody learning at night, that usually is much more audible than during the day. Again, the same idea. So we get back to our dioi amudim and the dioi partsuf and the dioftera, and now we have dioi. Now this medicine, this is not really dioi; it's really dioi. Dioi means enough, but you'll see it also has to do with two. Dioi oilam sheishtamish b'shtei oisius shenema kol neshamat haluka haluka. What is this referring to? What this is referring to is, says Rashi, that in the times of the Beis Mikdash, when the Kehanim would duchan, they would go and duchan with Yud Kei Vav Kei. So they didn't go and say Yivrecha Hashem V'yishmerecha, like we say Adoy Shem, right, with the Lashon Adnos. They would actually say Yivrecha Yud Kei Vav Kei, like the pronunciation Lahavdol by the witnesses. It's with a J, we would say it, of course, with a Y, but you get the idea. But that's the time of the Beis Hamikdash. But since the Chorm Beis Hamikdash, we cannot say Yud Kei Vav Kei. The only thing we can go and say is Ka. Oh, Hashem Hashem Kei Rach V'Chan Yor Ka. So Kol An Shem Tal Ka Aluka. That's the two Oisias. That's the Yud Kei. So now, although the word over here is Da Yoy Li Oilam, it's enough. The Kodesh Baruch Hu said it's enough. Just don't use four Oisias. Just use two Oisias. It could be that the reason why the Gemara uses this expression Dayoy is similar to the Dioy of the Dioymden that we had before, two Oisius. That's going to show me to Halalukha Halalukha. Zok the Gemara. Oh, so this is the chat. Now, where does it say in Kol HaNeshama that this is talking about after the Chorban Beis Hamikdash? So there's a short little Toisus over here, two Toisus before the end. The Toisus quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, Pesh Rabbeinu Chananel, Kri Bei HaNeshama B'dogesh. In other words, not that we're talking about neshama sold, but neshama, something that was destroyed. And therefore, referring to the Beis Hamikdash, unfortunately, that was destroyed. Ever since that neshama, that shemomoyin, that terrible destruction, from then on, we go and say Yud Kei, as opposed to Yud Kei Vav Kei. From Rabbi Yemi ben Elazar, Neskala Bava, Neskala Shechina, Neskala Shoimer, Nesporcha Shechina. When Bava was cursed, then all of the Shechinim also had the disadvantage of that curse. However, when Shoimrin was cursed, Nisboch Shechinah, the Shechinim had a benefit. The Skala above the Skala Shechinah, the Chziv, the Samtia, the Moirish, Kipay, the Agni Maya. I'm going to go and make the Bava, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, into Moirish, Kipay, the Agni Maya, a place where Chayois are going to roam free. And since Oil Rasha, Oil Shechinoi, the Chayois that are running free in Bavel will unfortunately, for the Shechinim, also run free in Paras and other neighboring lands to Bavel. However, in Skali Shoimrein, in Shoimrein, Yehuda v'Shomron, that we talk about today, the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, Nisboch Shechinah, even though it was Niskal, Nisboch Shechinah, the Siv, Samti Shoimrein la'ayah Sada, Ayah Sada means, I'm going to make Shoimrein like into a mound of rubble. But then the pasuk continues on, L'matoi Karem. What means L'matoi Karem? Says the Tap Rashi, V'yehenu Shecheineha V'shevachu La Sheniskeres L'toive. Meaning, the point of the pasuk is that Shoimrin will no longer be inhabited, but rather it's just going to be mounds and fields and these wild karamois, vineyards that are going to grow, but they're not going to be any population because they're all going to be, unfortunately, driven out of the land by Simchedev and Nebuchadnezzar and all the Rishoyim throughout the generations. However, because of the fact that the Torah says it's going to be L'matoi Karem, any of the neighbors, meaning any of the Arabs or anybody, passers-by, travelers, or anybody near there, will be able to be Nehenev from the Karem, because they'll be able to go and take the grapes and eat the grapes and make it into wine, etc. So even though there was a Klala, there came out at least a side benefit, a bracha. And therefore, we'll be Messiah today with bracha. Any questions, Rabbi Sai? Hearing none, yet we'll continue 8:05 tomorrow, Vaita, with some very, very interesting Agadata, both Ahmed Aleph and Ahmed Beis. And Ahmed Beis, we get back to Allah a little bit. But in the meantime, Zach, have a wonderful day. Hatzlach Rabbah.